It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A week ago, the Wisconsin Supreme Court released two major rulings.
The court reinstated ballot drop boxes, overturning a ruling from the court 2 years ago. In another case, the court ruled against so-called legislative vetoes, where lawmakers pass funding bills, but legislative committees oversee how that money is spent. The case in question involved funding for land stewardship programs.
Rob Yablon joins us now for a look at those rulings. He's an associate professor of law at UW-Madison and a faculty affiliate with the Elections Research Center. He's the faculty co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative. Rob, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good to be with you.
All right. Drop boxes back. 4-3 vote, overturning a 4-3 vote from a couple of years ago. Rob, what was the reasoning from the new-ish majority now for ruling in favor of drop boxes?
Well, this is a statutory interpretation case. And the question is whether the election laws that we have on the books in Wisconsin give a local clerk the discretion to decide whether to have drop boxes. So it's really, how are we reading these statutory provisions? 2 years ago, four of the members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court thought that the statutes didn't authorize drop boxes. We've had a change in the court's composition, and now there are four members that read those statutory provisions differently and say that properly understood, those statutes, which generally do recognize the decentralized nature of election administration in Wisconsin, give a lot of authority to local clerks to make these decisions, allow clerks to decide how they would like to receive absentee ballots, including through drop boxes, if they would like.
Rob, as I understand it, state law doesn't say you can't have drop boxes. It also doesn't specifically say clerks can have drop boxes. Open to interpretation, I think reasonable arguments on either side.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why this has been disputed for the past couple of years. You know, 2 years ago, the court essentially drew a negative inference from the fact that state law doesn't affirmatively authorize drop boxes. And this time around, a majority of the justices thought that that negative inference is inappropriate, that we don't spell out everything in the election statutes. Instead, the statutes provide a framework, and clerks work within that framework and have some discretion to act. And so you wouldn't expect the statutes to specify every way in which a clerk may or may not be able to accept a ballot. Drop boxes, they say, fall within the statutory language for what a clerk can decide to do in terms of getting those absentee ballots back from voters.
Let's talk timing, Rob. August primaries coming up, November election. Sometimes courts are a little leery of making changes to election law, issuing rulings that'll change the function of elections too close to elections. Was that a factor here at all?
You know, it didn't really explicitly factor into the written decision from the court. Maybe part of the reason for that is that the Elections Commission itself, and there were also clerks who filed an amicus brief in this case supporting the return of drop boxes. So maybe they thought, you know, if the election administrators are saying that we can bring these back and there's time to do it, the court wasn't going to be so concerned about that. And we have seen since the decision just yesterday, the Wisconsin Elections Commission did issue new guidance for clerks with best practices for how to restore those drop boxes. So, you know, there will be work to do on the part of clerks in the coming month who want those drop boxes back in place for the August primary. But that does seem like something that's doable.
That's a key point, Rob. There's not a requirement that any given clerk put out drop boxes. So if they think, OK, logistically, we can't do this in time for August, we can't do this in time for November, they can just not do it. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it remains to be seen exactly how many drop boxes we will, in fact, have back both in August and in the fall. You know, back in 2020, 2021, there were 500 plus drop boxes in use around the state. And, you know, we don't know yet what those numbers will look like this year.
Let's talk a little bit about the politics surrounding this, Rob. We had drop boxes a lot of times in rural counties in Wisconsin for a while. Along comes COVID. They get much more popular. People were worried about the speed of the mail in the 2020 elections. Republicans criticized it. There were claims, I think all debunked at this point, that drop boxes were rife with the potential for abuse. Talk a little bit about the political argument in the backdrop of this court ruling.
Right. I mean, this issue did get politicized in 2020. You're right that there were drop boxes even before 2020. There have been drop boxes in a variety of communities around the state, particularly in rural communities. Drop boxes can serve an important purpose because there you often just have part-time clerks. So the office hours aren't available for people as much. And so there's a real convenience factor with drop boxes. But nevertheless, around 2020, there were concerns that were raised, most of which, as you say, have now been debunked about the security of drop boxes and so on. But that's been persistent. And, you know, I think that there will be a subset of Wisconsinites, a minority, but maybe a vocal minority, that do have continued concerns about whether these drop boxes introduce the possibility of security or election integrity issues. You know, I would hope that in the coming months, you know, some of those folks are just able to try to work constructively with local clerks to talk to them about the safeguards that are in place for drop boxes. I think they'll find that clerks around the state really are open to having that kind of constructive dialogue, that clerks really do want to have a secure and trusted system, and they want people to be confident in that system. But, you know, that this has become politicized, and that has persisted since 2020.
We're talking about two recent decisions from the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Robert Yablon, Associate Professor of Law at UW-Madison, faculty affiliate with the Elections Research Center. Let's check out this other decision now, Rob. 6-1, so not the usual partisan split. The state Supreme Court issued a ruling. This is a case involving Governor Evers, the state legislature's currently Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee, over who gets to make decisions about funding for a land stewardship project. A little more complicated than this ballot drop box. Can you explain what's at stake here?
Sure. So this is a little bit more complicated. This one is a constitutional case rather than a statutory case like the drop boxes case. And the question was whether the way that the legislature kind of steps in to decisions that the executive branch is making under this stewardship program violate the state constitution's separation of powers principle. So the way that you normally think government works with our multiple branches is that the legislature makes decisions to appropriate funds. They pass a budget. And at that point, it becomes the executive branch's job to administer the funded programs and to decide exactly how the money gets spent. And so this case specifically involved a program called the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program, created 35 years ago to help the state acquire land for outdoor recreation and environmental protection. And in the current budget, there's something like $33 million that have been allocated for land acquisition projects. And the way that it works is the DNR then makes specific land acquisition decisions. But the catch is that under the law, the DNR then has to notify a particular legislative committee, the Joint Committee on Finance, whenever it plans to make certain expenditures or other decisions. And that committee essentially had veto authority, right? So they got to decide whether these specific projects could go forward or not. And the challenge and the argument was this violates the separation of powers principle. This is the legislature stepping in and improperly trying to execute the law, which is normally the executive branch's job. As you say, this was a 6-1 ruling. Justices across the ideological spectrum agreed that this arrangement is unconstitutional.
This case involved that Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund. Does it set a precedent for other stuff? Because this isn't the only case where this kind of authority has ended up in the hands of joint finance, or in some cases, I think, other legislative committees.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So this case specifically involved that one program, but the case certainly has much broader implications. There are dozens and dozens of Wisconsin statutes that give the Joint Committee on Finance these veto powers, and the decision from the court is written broadly enough to really call all of those powers into question and suggest that really the proper balance of power in our system is that the legislature as a whole passes a budget, makes appropriations, and once it does it, it's the executive branch's job to spend that money, and a single legislative committee doesn't have the power to step back in and maybe block some of those executive decisions, which, by the way, is the norm around the country. You know, Wisconsin's legislative veto practice is quite unusual. There are more legislative vetoes written into Wisconsin law, and they're more often than probably any other state at this point. And at the federal level, legislative vetoes were declared unconstitutional under the federal constitution decades ago in a decision called INS versus Chadha. So Wisconsin practice on this has been quite unusual.
Joint Finance Committee members are Republicans Howard Markline and Representative Mark Bourne issued a statement after the ruling saying, hey, this is going to put the state's land stewardship program in jeopardy. In effect, if we don't get a say in where this gets spent, maybe we just take it out of the budget completely. I mean, that would, I guess, solve the constitutional question.
Right. I mean, you know, that is a downstream possibility. And we're going to have to think going forward, and the legislature will probably think going forward about whether this changes its budgetary practices. You know, it would have the option just to decide it doesn't want to fund this program at all. As I said, this program has been around for decades. It's my understanding is that it's quite popular, so I don't know if they'd really take that step. It also could create the incentive for the legislature to try to be more specific in its appropriations. If on the front end it says, you know, the money can only be spent in these particular ways, that would still be a way that it could place more constraints on the executive branch.
Last minute or so, Rob, we have a court that's flipped from a conservative majority to a liberal majority. Big picture, what are you seeing?
Well, you know, there have been some notable shifts in the court this year. The court did overturn a couple of important precedents. There was the ballot Dropbox case, probably an even bigger deal than that early in the term. You know, you can think back to the redistricting case. You know, it is because of this new court that we are going to have new state legislative maps that people are going to be elected under in Wisconsin this year. You know, that said, there also have been decisions like the legislative veto case, though, that haven't been decided along ideological lines. I believe that of the decisions the court made this year, only four of them actually were 4-3 decisions. And so in the majority of cases, you actually have seen the justices across the ideological spectrum reach at least a somewhat broader consensus.
Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Rob Yablon is an associate professor of law at UW-Madison, faculty affiliate with the Elections Research Center. He's also faculty co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative. Hey, what do you think about drop boxes? Are you glad to see them coming back, at least in some communities? Or do you like the old state Supreme Court decision that says we mostly couldn't have them? Let us know. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org. We'll be right back.